numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Numbers game here on VSiN. We tricked you, not Gil Alexander. Matt Brown in for Gil for at least
Psych out.
Day. Yeah, one more day here. Kelly Bidlin on the desk with me. Been a great week. Tons of great guests, tons of great insight, and we'll keep that rolling here today. Will Hill going to join us. We'll talk all things sports with Will. Talk about just whatever.
Yeah, we'd bounce around with Will. Definitely, I know he's got NBA Finals thoughts and MLB always.
Paul Sporer going to join us. If you are not a frequent visitor of FanGraphs and you like betting baseball, then what are you doing? He is not only a unbelievably talented fantasy guy, but he'll give us some betting insights as well with all of that. And our very own Zach Cohen going to join us. We will talk, you know what? We get the tennis and NBA with Zach Cohen.
That's right. He also gets to be in second hour. He's usually never in the second hour because we usually got Kraken here on Thursday. So yeah, I let him sleep in today.
Going to come on in here. You know what? We'll have the live insight because the matches are going as we speak right now. I know you looked up. Do you have a bet? Is that why you were saying let's get it going?
Yeah, I might have thrown in a random little tennis parlay this morning.
Did you know?
Yeah, a little Coco Sabalenka Thunder parlay. Of course, I'm assuming everybody's tying in the Thunder money line into parlays. Mm-hmm. These next couple days. I try not to be the guy that promotes a bunch of parlays because you know me. I don't really bet that way. But, oh, boy, if you're looking at anything these next couple days and you're seeing that Thunder money line, it is way too easy to convince yourself to toss that in.
And we will, of course, have tons of NBA thoughts throughout the course of the show today. But, Kelly, last night, game one of the Stanley Cup Final. And let me tell you, hockey, buddy.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, you and I are not going to – we don't fake it. And if you guys have – seen any of the programming Kelly and I have ever done together over the course of the last 7 years, we're not hockey dudes, right? I mean, not on a day-to-day basis. Playoffs roll around, yeah, man, hockey Matt comes out. I'm all in. But on a day-to-day basis, not so much. But you see games last night and the way that went down, the way they battled back, the Oilers win 4-3 in overtime over the Florida Panthers. Leon Draisaitl gets it done, his second of the game. Connor McDavid with the assist on that. Total goes over the 6.5. Oilers cash at about a -120-ish favorite there in that game. And Kelly, you know, that is what people talk about when they talk about playoff hockey. You know, game 24 in the middle of the season that ends up being like a 1-0 or 2-1 grind in which all the goals came in the first period. Yeah. And then you just watch like the next two periods and absolutely nothing happens. Yeah. Not really my cup of tea. Again, I didn't grow up with hockey in Louisiana. I don't know if you know this or not. Not a big hockey state.
Not huge. Yeah. Not huge.
Not a big hockey state. The closest team when I was growing up was St. Louis, you know? So I mean, because the Dallas team wasn't there yet.
I was going to say,
The Dallas team wasn't there. They were still up in Minnesota, you know? And so like, I think it was St. Louis. No regional network, so you couldn't even watch hockey. You know, I mean, like, it was literally only until the playoffs rolled around that I ever even see hockey every year. So I didn't grow up with it. I don't understand the nuances of it like I do all the other sports because I played them growing up. But, man, I can tell you this. You see a game like last night, and you don't even really have to understand the intricacies of everything that's going on. And you can just be entertained. Yeah. And that's what I was last night.
Well, I mean, when you get a fun first period with all that scoring like that, and then the ending that you get, it was incredible. I mean, down 3-2 heading into the third, Edmonton, and then able to tie it up, and then overtime finish it off. It was quite an exciting finish. The one I would suggest is the Panthers. When you try to pass the puck, don't launch it into the crowd because that sets up a penalty situation, and that seemed to go sideways for them.
It was a power play goal that ended this thing, and as Kelly mentioned, they were trying to clear it out of there. It seemed like it just kind of like got off his stick a little weird, hucks it into the crowd.
These are the things where like you and I don't know hockey well enough, where I'm like, I don't even know what to compare that to. Is that like a complete slice off with the driver off the tee box? Like that was... In slow motion, that looks real bad.
I think it's probably like a, it's probably more like a very terrible foul in the NBA than it would be like.
Or the pass to nobody that's there, you know, when you think you're passing to someone that's in the corner and they've already cut.
Because it's like the turnover where as soon as it's you see them just look down like, oh man, no. Yeah, that was what went on last night, of course. Power play goal ends that thing. And I'll tell you, Kelly, my 4-1 exact outcome here for the Oilers is alive.
There you go.
It is a lie. Look at that.
There you go. I like it.
That was my, you know, that was my sweat here.
I mean, as maybe you gathered already, I was, I did finally about 2 minutes before game time pull the trigger on the Oilers, but I tied it in with the Thunder tonight too.
So. Oh, okay. So you're, so results pending.
Results pending. Still.
Results pending. If you go to VSiN.com, there's not going to be a result in there.
Yeah, no.
Quite
no.
yet with all of that. Speaking of going to VSiN.com, no longer undefeated here on the show. Yesterday, the Reds get spanked. Though we did get the K prop over, so we split that game in general. And then I actually don't even feel bad about the handicap with the Phillies. I mean, I really liked Mick Abel in that game. I mean, they lost 2-1, Kelly. I mean, like, you know, they lost 2-1. It's if dude only get, if the oh. dude goes out and does what you ask him to do, and the hitters don't hit, then you know, I mean, we always talk about the process over the results, and this is kind of a very typical process over results deal here. Okay, I lost. I don't feel bad about it at all. It was a 2-1 game. You know, he didn't get shelled. The handicap was that he was going to be able to go out and handle the Blue Jays. He did. They just couldn't hit.
I'll tell you the one thing that stuck out to me about that game, Matt, because you know he's one of my favorite ball players, but Alejandro Kirk with the walk-off, and he's looking like he's lost a few LBs these days.
Is he on the shots?
Maybe. I don't know. I was watching that celebration. And I'm like, Alejandro's looking a little thinner these days.
We're gonna see him in the offseason with the in the commercials or whatever.
Yeah.
You know
what was funny though? Man, I'm blanking on the golfer now. But like, I think about these things with. Sometimes, like, those body types, like, these guys get used to swinging, whether it's a golf club or a baseball bat, around the big body, right? Mm-hmm. So you go and lose some of that. Who knows? It might affect your swing.
You got to change some stuff up. Yeah, this is the work in the off seasons for him is no longer going to be shedding the LBs. It's going to be trying to get the swing
exactly,
right.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't have to swing around this gut of mine anymore. Well, this is great.
God, why am I blanking on the golfer that got skinny? He got skinny, and then the game went to crap because he was so used to having to swing around the belly.
That's so good. Rockies sweep the Marlins. We're sitting here wondering if the Rockies were ever going to win, and instead they go out. Kelly, they lost 13 of their previous 14 games and then rattle off three straight wins on the road to get their first three-game sweep since May of 2024. So if you are a Colorado Rockies fan, if you're sitting there listening to us right now up there in Denver, good on you. Happy for you guys that you get this done. You probably didn't even know it happened. You've checked out on this team already.
Oh, no. I know I have. No, this is.
No, I'm talking about the people in Colorado. Oh, like, they're like, they didn't even know this. They've checked out on this team already.
Hey, man, that's a sweep of the Marlins.
They're talking about Bo Nix up there.
Also,
you know, already.
Also, shout out to JVT, who I correct me if I'm wrong in the back here, guys, but I think three games in a row he bet the Rockies, which that takes some stones to go to the window with.
Well, once you get the first two home, you're free rolling. So, you know,
he really was. Yeah.
Once you get the first two home, you're free rolling. But they do, again, May of 2024 was their last three game sweep.
That's incredible.
It really is.
And
it's been done. It's been done.
The terrible teams in Major League Baseball are so terrible this year. Like it is something special to watch. Like because it's if you said the Rockies swept someone, there's only a couple teams that you'd throw out there of who it could happen to, and the Marlins are one of them.
So if you guys were up late last night out there on the East Coast, it wasn't that bad for us over here. But what you did see was the Mets take down the Dodgers. 6-1, and with that, Kelly, the Dodgers 10-10 in their last 20 games. And I understand 500 is not the worst thing in the world, but when you look at the Dodgers, and all we do is talk about how this is the dream team and the team that is destined to just go, let's go ahead and just hand them the World Series as it is. 10-10 in their last 20, and by the way, had the Padres not lost, they would be tied out there in the West right now, but the Padres did lose last night as well. But you know, maybe there are some cracks a little bit there for the Dodgers. And so if you're a fan of any of these other teams in the National League, it might not be a foregone conclusion that the Dodgers are just going to take it and just going to go to the World Series.
I mean, it makes it interesting. Every time we go and look at NL West odds, it's like you think of the juggernaut that is the Dodgers and the odds reflect that. But then you're like, man, like there's some good teams right there behind them. I mean, I'm not talking myself into a division bet anytime soon against the Dodgers, but man, it's
numbers are juicy.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting good numbers on what? A Padres team that's a game and a half back from the Dodgers right now? That's pretty good.
A's lose again. They've lost 9 in a row and 19 of their last 20 games.
Yeah,
so they're the new Rockies.
The Rockies.
A's are the new Rockies.
Cyclical.
And if you guys were, you know, thinking this team was going to be froggy all year long, I mean, I guess I can't really blame you. On May the 13th, Kelly. So not that long ago, May the 13th, this team was 22-20.
Yeah.
They are 23-40.
That is not great.
Yeah. I mean,
stayed under last night though.
Yeah. I mean, you're sitting here 9 in a row, 19 of 20. They were 22 and 20 on May the 13th, and they are now 23 and 40. Well, clear, Sacramento crowds are going to start dwindling.
Clearly they just need a real home, a real place to call home, okay?
Yeah, that's, well, what's that, 5 years
Hold
away?
Hold your breath.
I don't think they broke ground out there quite yet. I don't even know if they have the money to get it done. Djokovic loses the first set and then goes on to beat Zverev 3-2 and 4 in the next three sets. So he moves on, and, man, those last three sets, you're just sitting there looking and you cannot believe that Djokovic is the age that he is. I mean, it's just it's a different breed, that guy, for sure. And looks like he might be for real, might be live in this thing. Well, how's that going, what he thinks?
I've brought it up multiple times with Gilmap, but it's the, like, at this point with Djokovic, because the odds are now long enough where I'm like, I feel like I should just be betting him every turn, because he somehow surprises and gets
cyborg.
At least a little bit further than we all expect.
Yeah. Cyborg. Quick news and notes here. Pablo Lopez out 8 to 12 weeks with a shoulder strain for the Twins. That's a big hit. He had a 2.82 ERA and a 1.07 whip. His expected's in the low threes, so that is a big hit for that Twins team. Yu Darvish is actually progressing nicely. Should be able to rejoin that rotation there for the Padres here sometime in the next month or so. And then Rob Manfred said on Wednesday he does intend to submit a proposal to the league's competition committee, Kelly, to get the automated ball strike challenge system in play for 2026. So when these guys are, you've seen it on the internet, when these umpires are missing these calls by like 7 inches, you just tap the helmet and then he goes, oh yeah, I guess I missed that one.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I missed
Let's get
that
it going.
One. NBA Finals when we come back here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A Numbers Game here on a Thursday. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin on the desk with me as we look, and we have live golf going on as well as live tennis.
Yeah,
so we do have things that we can talk about that are going on while we are on air. We're not jinxing anything. We're trying not to talk our bets that we have in the account out of cashing for us here, but we're looking decent at least on a couple of dudes.
No, you just kind of hit it. Like, as soon as I brought him up, everybody bogeyed all at once, apparently.
Really?
So, yeah.
The whole crew.
Let's see. Matt had Alex Smalley in the outright market and first round leader. He did have solo lead 4 under, but he just bogeyed, so he's back down to 3 under.
All right.
You have Mark Hubbard, Sam Burns, Alex Smalley, Paul Peterson at 3 under par right now at the RBC Canadian Open.
Oh, Paul
Open.
Peterson, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. I know you. Yes. One of your favorites.
Obviously,
yeah.
Paul Peterson. Someone I've bet a lot. A
couple signed items from him, I believe. And then Keith Mitchell was 3 under. We both have Keith Mitchell, right, in first round leader?
Yes. Always.
Always.
In
That's
perpetuity.
Right. Cashmere Keith, let's go. He is was 3 under, just backed up to 2 under. And then I'm also sweating Harry Hall for a first-round leader who is 2 under par.
Of course, if you want all of those bets, VSiN.com is the place to go get those. So if you check out VSiN.com today, you're going to find Super Regional College World Series guide that is out there. We're going to talk more with that with Aaron Moore and Matt Grissom. Greg Peterson's got his Major League Baseball bets out there. Of course, Zach Cohen, Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody talking the Pacers and the Thunder over there. And, oh, yeah, the Belmont is happening as well. We'll be breaking that down top to bottom. Go out there and maybe hit us another trifecta or something like that. VSiN.com/subscribe, $9.99 if you want to dip your toe in and see what all we got going on over there. So, Kelly Bidlin, we are sitting currently, DraftKings up to 10.
I was wondering when we were going to see a 10 today.
DraftKings up to 10 now in favor of the Thunder. Everybody else, 9.5. And that total that we were talking about that had gotten as high as 231.5 has now come back down. Flat 230 out here behind us at Circa as well as at Caesars. And then you can see the 231.5 that the other books have now turned into 230.5. So
wow,
a full point off of those. A point and a half at a couple of the other books out there. So we're seeing a little bit of a fight here on the total side of things. It ran all the way up to 231.5, now as low as 230 out there in the market.
I saw a 232. I saw a couple 232s and a 232.5 yesterday.
Okay.
So it got even that high. But, you know, as we've talked about with a couple of the guests this week on this show, it seems like there's very differing opinions on this. Dinzik said he was about 10 points lower than this total, so I think he was on the under. Talking with JVT yesterday, a very bullish play in the over in this game. I think just expecting the pace from both these teams to be so high back and forth game one. I think that makes sense. I would at this number, though, Matt, it would be a lean to the under for me, but I am not touching this total tonight.
Let's talk about this from any sort of, and the answer might be no from you. Any sort of correlation whatsoever to the total? Like, let's say it's a Thunder game.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Is there any sort of like, oh, well, if it's a Thunder game, then I would be leaning towards X, or wow, the Pacers fought this way harder than I thought they were going to. This thing comes down to the last possession type of game. Then it leans more of a X type of
game. Okay, great question. It's not really something we've discussed this week. I think Thunder, not much correlation for me with total inside.
Because it could be either way.
They
right?
could like, win either way. Yeah. They could win either way. Pacers, absolutely, right? I think if you're looking at Pacers to win a game in this series, total is probably going over, right? And what does that mean?
Because the Thunder defense isn't as stout as we thought, essentially, would be the handicap here.
That a little bit of, they probably beat them up in transition, right? The Pacers actually got the edge in transition over them that game. And then I just think so many of these games, I don't think the Pacers are going to have much choice but to shoot way more threes than even they'd like to because of how stout this Thunder defense is. And then it's just a shooting variance game, right? The Pacers, like we've seen many times in this playoffs, get way more threes to drop than you would expect, and that's what leads them to hitting that over.
Yeah, and I think that there are some teams out there that there are pretty clear paths to victory that we can tie to a total and say, but I'm with you on the Thunder side of things because I think there are a couple of different ways. They could have a ton of success and this thing go over just because maybe they score way more than we think. But also, Kelly, I think they could win this game by 15, which by the way, right, we cover your alt numbers and all that. And it's also because they're winning because they're shutting the Pacers down, which then keeps this total under. So I don't really like looking at any sort of correlation stuff going on with the Thunder at all. But from the Pacers side of things, I don't see them winning like a 97, you know, right, like 94 grind or something.
Yeah, you know? me either. I am very interested, though. I think of things that I'm intrigued to see game one, it's, okay, how a couple things. Where do we start at as far as the bigs on the floor, right? And I think we're going to see normal starting lineups, but how quickly do these coaches, especially on the Thunder side, decide maybe just to go with Chet as the 1-5 and Hartenstein sees a little bit more of the bench than we're used to seeing this playoffs? It's that, and then what kind of pace do we see in this game, right? We know both of these teams are very comfortable playing at a high tempo and a very fast pace. I'm wondering if the Thunder, though, kind of like we're talking about with the total, I think they have more ways to win. Do they purposely try to slow this Pacers team down? Do the Pacers lean into that speed even more, right? It's, hey, everybody's seen our fastball, but we're going to take it even a couple notches higher. Those are the things I'm very fascinated to see how that plays out game one, even game two, because we know these series, sometimes it takes a couple games for even these teams to figure out the rhythm and what they really want to attack.
The other thing that we can hit on here, because it's an angle, everyone's going to be, all of you listening to this, if you're taking the time to listen to this show, you're probably going to watch the game tonight.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, you're a sports fan. You woke up. You want to hear some opinions on all of this. So, Kelly, a live angle in the game, is there a team in which if they got down or got up or whatever that it would be like, okay, Thunder are up 24. I'm going to go ahead and take the points with the Pacers. I think the Thunder back down a little bit. Or the Thunder end up down 6. You know, midway through the first quarter or whatever it might, you know, is there some sort of live angle that might get you involved?
I think it would only be, for me, it would only be a Thunder look again. And that's the kind of traditional, especially with all the shows we did on primetime action, right? It's wait for, if you don't want to lay, I mean, tonight could be a perfect example. You don't want to lay 9.5, 10. Look, you got
not for everyone, right?
It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm about to say, though, you have to be very okay with going into the game and possibly not making a bet because you are looking for a very specific opportunity to present itself. And it's kind of what Matt's bringing up. It's, okay, we're rolling into first quarter. And what I like to target is usually begin early second quarter, mid second quarter, Matt, when we see that pregame spread start to shift, right? The algorithm kind of takes it off what that pregame number is and adjusts more to what the game action is, and you finally see that spread really start to drop down. So those would be the timing that I think you're almost looking for in all these games, that if the Thunder are trailing, maybe they're down 7-8, you know, 7-12, something like that, that's where you can jump in at a much cheaper price.
It took me a little while to go ahead and pull the trigger, went ahead and did play that Thunder game one, Thunder series. It just, again, it takes the price just down so much. You know,
Once again, if it's still minus 275 at DraftKings, they're like 50 cents off market.
Yeah. It's just, for me, I don't think the handicap that you have in the Thunder winning this series is like, oh, well, they lose game one at home. I mean, I don't think that that's part of your handicap. I think the handicap is like, obviously, they're going to win game one, and I like them to hold serve at home. I think the undefeated at home when at minus 120 is not the worst bet either. I got close to that one, and I just, and again, even a minus 275 bet is not for everyone's bankroll. So if that's not your cup of tea and you just kind of wanted to do Thunder undefeated at home at minus 120 to make the number a little bit more palatable, I understand that. Again, like we always talk as if everyone's got this unlimited bankrolls and stuff, and like some of these bets just aren't for everybody. So that's why we're trying to talk through alternate ways to get down on still the same outcome.
Yeah, let's. I want to roll through a couple of these because I'm glad you brought those up. I'm glad you bet those because I think there are a few. I think there's a few good bets out there. Look, the 4-1 exact series outcome, I think that's worth throwing a few bucks on. I really think Thunder at 5 is the most likely outcome of this series. But we'll start high and work our way down. First of all, I think the series price is fair. I'm one of those people like, I don't think this is out of control. If you have the bankroll to lay it, I actually think it's a good bet at minus 650. Anything under minus 700, I think it's a good bet. Okay, you want to go a little bit cheaper? You brought this up earlier in the week when we were talking finals MVP. Go shop around, but you could do different combinations of SGA, Chet, and Jalen Williams.
And you basically have your bases covered.
And you basically have it all covered, and you're getting a slightly cheaper price than what you're going to pay on the series price. I think that is a completely logical way to play it. Then we go down to the game one and the series price, right? And I think anything around minus 300, I think that's a good bet. For the game, you got to win game one and then win the series. And then the home game, the home game ones. I think all those are good ways to attack this if you are looking for alternative ways to bet the Thunder and not have to lay that huge series price.
Yeah, it's just, you know, again, we get it. Everybody has a different way of going about betting, and, you know, putting 650 out to 100 isn't everyone's. In everyone's cup of tea.
Yep.
So
I did have a couple more bets. We'll get to them a little bit later.
Yeah, we'll get to them later. We got to get to baseball. We got all kinds of stuff we got to get to around here. But when we come back, maybe we'll talk a little baseball with him as well. Yeah, I'm sure we will. Will Hill joining us here on the program.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game here on a Thursday. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin on the desk. You win your first set here. Look at you.
I got to be careful. Gil Alexander might hear me somewhere out there. He's got Eagle Futures.
Hey, you know, but here's the thing. We can have differing opinions.
That's right.
We can have differing opinions. Everyone doesn't
but
have
Sab's
to agree.
Got it. She got it done.
Everyone doesn't have to agree here on the network. You know, we have differing opinions. I know that you put in a long, hard handicap at the match. So
well, it's kind of that, right? It's the absolute lack of a handicap and way less money that I'm sure Gil has riding on this ticket.
Now joining us here on the program, we'll see if he's got a Sabalenka ticket. Will Hill, you've seen him here on the network, of course, up and down. Should have bet more podcast as well. Not the Will Hill over there on the Twitter machine. Will, how you doing, buddy?
Boys, what's going on? Excited to finally get this series underway. It feels like it's been a while since we've had basketball. It's been a while since we've had a competitive basketball game because the last few games, Indiana and New York, were not competitive, were blowouts. That game five Timberwolves Thunder was a blowout that Wednesday night. It's really, what was it, that Monday, that Memorial Day, that exciting finish, well, the close finish, the free throw contest. Yeah, and that's the last time we've seen a close basketball game. So it's been weird to not have the hoops. I'm excited for it.
Well, Will, we saw nines, and then most of those nines turned into 9.5s, and then now it's all 9.5s, and one of the 9.5s has turned into 10 over at DraftKings. So we have a full double digit now. spread over at DraftKings in favor of Oklahoma City. The 229.5s all went up as high as 231.5 yesterday, just when me and Kelly were here on the program. That has now come back. Caesars is at a flat 230. Most of the other places out there at 230.5. As far as the line goes, total goes, how do you feel about those here for game one?
Nothing on the total. It would still only be OKC. I still love, like, OKC, even though you're not getting the best of the number. I can't get behind Indiana. I just think this is a really tough matchup. First off, I'm not a huge trends guy, but NBA Finals, game one, the home teams have done historically pretty well, which makes sense. You know, you get a rested favorite, a motivated favorite. You know, I remember the Curry Warriors always took care of business. The last couple of years, the Nuggets, the Celtics, these teams at home, game one, they're focused. You know, usually you get their best punch, and man, I just think this is a tough matchup for Indiana. First of all, OKC, you know, can blow you out. They've got, you know, I think 54 double-digit wins, a bunch of 30-point wins, so they're good for the number here. And you know, the Pacers, these playoffs have gotten blown out a few times. I just worry from their standpoint. They're fighting fire with fire. Just the fact that they're going to run and gun and play up tempo. I respect the hell out of Carlisle. He's not a good coach. He's a great coach. So maybe he has something up his sleeve here. But, man, it just feels like everybody in the East was not ready for the fastball that the Pacers had. They were just thrown off by that pace, that style. I think that OKC is primed for this style. I think this is perfect for OKC. I think this plays right into their hands. So it would be OKC or nothing for me. I like OKC minus the points here.
Yeah, finals. Winner of game one at home goes on to win the final 78% of the time is what we've seen historically. So big game tonight for the Pacers to try to steal it. Hey, what, I've got bets, but man, it's this series would get all of a sudden way more exciting if the Pacers did steal this game. Will, before we move on, I know you got some series thoughts overall. Anything specifically you bet tonight or complete pass for game one?
I laid 5.5 with OKC, and I'll lay the 9.5. I'll give out a current number here. I don't want to give out something that's not there anymore. I'm okay laying the 9.5 here with OKC. I think they get out, get a big lead, and this is this looks similar to the 2 blowouts against Denver, the 3 blowouts against Minnesota. I think they're good for this number. I agree with the line movement. So OKC minus the points is a play for me.
And Will, just real quick, as we put a bow on this from the series aspect, if one of the is a sweep in play for you at all, are you thinking, okay, you know, maybe not a sweep. Let's look here at 4-1, whatever. Like how do you think this thing's not getting to 7, right, in your opinion?
I'd be shocked if it gets to 7. I think the sweep is very much in play here. The most consensus pick I've heard, I would say, you know, you listen to 10 people, you talk to 10 people, maybe 7, 8 of them have OKC in 5. I think people are – you know, they don't want to be dismissive of Indy because it's been such a good story. They're fun to watch. They've been so impressive here that a sweep just feels disrespectful, dismissive. But I think it's very much in play. I think Indy desperately needs to get one of the first two in OKC. Otherwise, you know what? It all comes down to game three. And OKC, I know they haven't been great on the road here, but just from a matchup standpoint, again, trying to fight fire with fire here, I think this is going to be really, really tough for the Pacers. OKC has so many different guys to throw at Halliburton. I know it was Brandon Anderson who does a really good job on these write-ups. You read so many of these write-ups leading up to the finals, you forget who wrote what, but I'm pretty sure it was Brandon Anderson who wrote about Halliburton under assist, that OKC's done a very good job getting the ball out of his hands. His assists were down against OKC the two regular season games, only 11 combined assists. Expected assists were way down. So they've got options to take care of Halliburton. And again, you're going to try to run and gun with OKC. I just don't think that's going to end well. I guess if you're going to make the case for the Pacers, besides the fact that they have Carlisle, they have a legitimate, you know, great Hall of Fame coach, it's such a high total that there's variance. And you know what? In a game with 230s, you can just have a night where, the shots go for you and they don't go for the opponent in such a high-scoring game. I guess that could create the variance. And I guess the other way to look at it would be if you're trying to be pro-Indy. Maybe Indy, I'm curious what you guys think, from a matchup standpoint, they go zone, try to keep OKC off the free throw line where they get a million points. Just make them 3-point shooters and hope they chuck up a 7-for-40 like they had a couple times against Denver and OKC. And you know what? If they go 15 or 16 from 40, you tip your cap because you can't take away everything. OKC is too good. But I just think the pace, the style, look, any sport with a clock, when you're not the better team, you want to slow the game down. You want to run the football or play a half-court game in basketball, similar to what Denver did with Jokic, and it helps them, the best player in the world. Man, going toe-to-toe and trying to beat them at their game is just dangerous. So I think a sweep here is very, very much in play. Now, look, I've watched sports long enough. I've lost enough bets to know upsets happen, crazy stuff. I get that. I'm not saying like anything's a lock or this is definitely going to happen, but I think the sweep is very much on the table here.
Yeah, I think it's a good point with the pace stuff, Will, and what do we see from the Pacers as far as what tempo they try to play. I think that's interesting. I am on Haliburton under 9.5 assists tonight. I do think there's that series under 9.5 for series averages out there as well. I do agree with that. I think it's a good point. That is one where I bet SGA to have most assists in the series. I know you got a couple baseball bets before we get there. Any series props or any of these player props that you made for the finals?
No, I just touched on the Haliburton one. I think that one's interesting. I think this could be a Nembhard series. We've seen a Nembhard assist be a sneaky bet here. So I think Nembhard's in the 20-1 range, I want to say. Of course, shop around, especially with a niche market like most series assists, you're going to find some difference on these numbers. But Nembhard could be a good one with the assist. But no, I'll be interested to look, just watch it, see what Carlisle has up his sleeve. It's almost like the Super Bowl, especially with a long layoff like this. You sit here and talk about every different angle, every different matchup. Excited to see the ball get tipped and how these teams attack it, how these teams play. I do wonder from like a handle standpoint, you got like a 4 or 5 day layoff. You got two smaller markets. You got a -$7 favorite. I wonder if that hurts their handle from a betting perspective, but I'm very excited for it. It should be fun.
Talking to Will Hill. Will, I have a different variant of this bet. I have the full game version of this. You've shortened it down a little bit. Diamondbacks on the road at the Braves, and that's going actually here in about an hour and a half. If anybody wants to play this, Braves big -162 favorites, +136 Diamondbacks on the road as dogs. You are playing the team total on the Braves, but you're shortening it up a bit. I did the full game. You're going a little bit shorter.
Yeah, first seven team total for the Braves is over 3.5 -$1.20 at DraftKings. I think that's about the best number you could find. Of course, shop around. Fott going for the Diamondbacks. I will make this bold prediction right now. Brandon Fott will pitch better than he did on Saturday night, where he did not record an out and he basically gave up 9 or 10 runs, whatever it was. He won't pitch that bad again, I wouldn't think. But he's really bad. Expected ERA near 7. Expected batting average, 3.15 or so. I mean, his numbers across the board are just really poor. And then once he's out of the game, that Diamondbacks bullpen is an adventure. So I shortened it to first seven because I don't want to get cheaped with cheats out here with the home team not getting their ninth at bat. I'll get my full seven here and just go over the 3.5. I think the Braves put up some runs, in this spot. Big game for the Braves. You don't usually say that here first week of June. 6 games under 500 for a team a lot of people like. Everyone seems to say, oh, they'll be fine. They'll make a run. There comes a point, and they're not there yet, but there comes a point where the circus doesn't stay in town forever. You got to start winning some games. The only three teams they're ahead of in the National League, I think, are the Pirates, the Rockies, and the Marlins. I mean, they're chasing everybody. They're 9-10 and behind the Mets and Philly for the division. I think you can probably, squash that idea. Big game here for the Braves. They're struggling.
He is Will Hill. Should have bet more podcast, of course, right here on VSiN as well at Not The Will Hill over on the Twitter machine. Good luck today, buddy. Thanks for the time.
Boys, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Guys, if you want to bet the Belmont along with us and everyone else here at the network, First Bet is the place to go and do that. FirstBet.com, 1STBET.com. You're going to go /VSiN. Promo code VSiN200 is going to get you up to a $200 sign-up bonus over there. The cool thing, you can make the bets right there in the app. You can watch the races right there in the app as well. FirstBet.com/VSiN. VSiN200 is your promo code for up to $200 in bonus bets. Pulse 4 when we come back.
The Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thank you for being with us here on a Thursday, be it Sirius Channel 158, our very own VSiN Watch app, YouTube TV, or terrestrial stations across this great country of ours. Kelly, I'm glad I did not see this person before whenever we were doing our golf research, because he would have gotten a bet from me without any research whatsoever. Kind of like your tennis bet here.
You're right.
Our new favorite golfer, Cougar Collins.
Cougar Collins.
Cougar Collins.
How are you spelling that? Just like the animal cougar?
Cougar Collins.
Oh.
He is he's Canadian, so I'm sure he got some sort of exemption to get in this tournament or somewhere or whatever. But Cougar Collins.
Parents these days need to submit names before naming their children. There's some wild ones out there. I don't know.
Cougar Collins would have gotten our money for sure. Some sort of money. Maybe a top 40.
I mean, we've bet nachos before just because they're named Nacho.
Cougar Collins, that's a T72 right now for Cougar Collins.
Not struggling. Your boy's back on top. Alex Smalley with the one-shot lead.
Now joining us here on the show, you have seen him here week after week. You've read his great work. You've listened to him over on Fangraphs as well. He is Paul Spohr at Spohr on all of the different socials out there. Paul, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well. Great to see you, Matt. How's it going, Kelly?
Good to see you as well, man. And, baseball rocking and rolling here. I know we're competing with the NBA finals and the NHL finals as well, but some interesting storylines that are going on out there, including this A's team that I brought it up a little bit earlier, Paul. It was 22-20 on May the 13th and is now 23-40. We are now, the discussion, I know we like joke about and clown on the White Sox, but and even the Rockies, but are we need to add the A's as far as like these teams that we can just look to basically bet against every single night?
Yeah, they have completely backslid, mostly due to the pitching or severe and utter lack thereof, as it were. Even their best pitcher, Mason Miller, out of the bullpen has gone through some troubles, let alone the fact that the starters just aren't that reliable. They were playing some interesting ball early on, scrappy offense in that park that inflates offense. They'll give you a tough night on any given series. Like you said, up until about a couple weeks ago now, when they cannot buy a W. And yeah, I don't see where the light at the end of the tunnel comes. I don't think they're quite as bad as those bottom tier teams. I do think that this is more of an ugly cold streak that's going to, keep them down at the bottom of the division for the Athletics and everything. But I don't think they're quite White Sox Rockies class, but they're that next class above, which is pretty rough. They're pitching in No City is just terrible. And that's really, really the problem right now, because a lot of them are home run guys too. And what are you going to get in that park? Home runs. So I don't see a great fix in the future just yet either.
I like our graphics because it's just the city is the Athletics. Yes, the Athletics. That's right.
Just Sacktown.
That's right. Sacktown.
Yeah, we're going with Sacktown A's. Paul, I know your answer to this is going to be we don't need to worry about anything. So let me just pose it as a more broad question here. The Dodgers are 10-10 over their last 20 games. We have seen this team not look as invincible, I think, as maybe we thought they were going to be through the first, for the first 55 games here. As we're looking at, one game behind now, the Padres are in that division. I don't think you're worrying about the Dodgers as overall here, but is the NL just in general maybe not as cut and dry as we thought coming in here? Are the Dodgers vulnerable? Can there be a team that can get to them?
Oh, certainly. I think that's the right way to frame it. Because, yeah, as far as them as a team, despite not looking like the, peak Avengers the way they have at times in the past, they're still in first. Even every time we talk about, they've lost, four series in a row, or they're 10-10 here, things aren't quite looking great with the pitching. All true, by the way. I'm not denying that. And yet, because they are such a force, they're still at the top of the division and near the top of the NL. But to your broader point about the National League at large, it is remarkably difficult. Not just their division where you've got San Diego, San Francisco, and we'll see what happens with Arizona. Losing Corbin Burns is rough. I like that team, but I don't know if they've got the horses anymore pitching-wise. But then you look at Chicago, St. Louis, Mets, Phillies outside, and even Milwaukee. That's a team I just can never quit. I know they kind of do it with like ragtag names on the pitching, but I cannot quit them either. So it is a deep National League. And we know how these short series go. Part of the thing before the Dodgers won last year was, the best team doesn't win all the time. The playoffs are stupid. And now it's like, because they won, it's preordained that they're going to win. No, playoffs are the playoffs. And sometimes the best team's going to win, and other times they're going to get upset. And I think that they have a chance, the Dodgers this year, to get upset as much as they have in any other year recently, less because they're problematic or bad and more because other teams around them are really, really good.
I want you to separate yourself from your fandom, and I want your honest opinion here. If we look at the AL and you see the Detroit Tigers, where they sit right now, six games clear, by the way, of the Twins and 6.5 of the Guardians, you will see that they have the best record in baseball as well. Are they the best team in the AL, or is it still probably the Yankees, something like that, but the Tigers are at least in the conversation?
Yeah, I think the Tigers are in the conversation, as pointed out, and everyone knows I'm a big, huge Tigers fan. So, you know, put that bias on the table. But I think I can, you know, neutrally analyze the team and understand that it doesn't quite have the star power of some of these other top teams like the Yankees. And even a team like the Astros that is just kind of lying in wait. You know, they really look toward the playoffs these days, where it's like, hey, they've proven the regular season over and over. They're not quite in the peak of their window by any stretch of the imagination, and they do need to get healthy, does Houston. But even they, I think, are a team that's up there. The Tigers aren't just a scrappy bunch of no-names, though. They have a legitimate ace. They've got a strong number two behind them. So Tarik Skubal, the ace, Flaherty behind him, and then quality guys filling out behind. The bullpen has been masterfully run by Hinch both last year and into this year. And then there are legit names on the offense. Parker Meadows just came back. He could be the catalyst. That's the thing. They did all this without him. Right. So even as some of these other guys regress, Parker Meadows just being there is going to negate some of that regression, at least in terms of the impact of it, by being an awesome player in center field, because we knew Javi Baez wasn't going to last all year there. Then you got Glaber, Carpenter, Green, and Torque. That's a legit top five. You know, you got the top half of your offense that you can really trust, to say nothing of Colt Keith, and Zach McKinstry's been a god this year. Dylan Dingler, Jake Rogers, catching combo has been nice. It is a really quality team that has depth, that is going to be adding depth as the season goes too, because one of the things that goes understated about this team is they lost 3-4 key guys early, but the backups played their butts off and really was a big reason why they were able to get out to such a lead here. So yeah, I like my Tigers. I don't believe that they're some invincible American League team. I totally understand why the odds to win have the Yankees ahead of them. They do have more star power there in New York, and we can feel confident that they'll go out and chase at the deadline. We don't know what the Tigers will do.
Talking to Paul Sporer from Fangraphs. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Parker Meadows. It's almost like a pickup for them, even though he's right. been on the team, but I mean, he hadn't played it all this season. And like you mentioned, just a guy that kind of does everything, right? I mean, like, he's got the speed, really good out in the outfield as well. So we look from a DFS perspective today. I'm looking here. I do see we've got a few different places where the wind is blowing out. If you wanted to stack against or stack in some of those games or whatever, anything that you're looking at here from a DFS perspective?
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting day because you definitely have some studs atop the heap there with pitching. Max Fried facing Cleveland, Framber Valdez at Pittsburgh. So not only a good lineup to face, but a good park as well. Robbie Ray gets San Diego, which is not easy. They're a quality team, but Robbie Ray has been 12th on the Fangraphs player rater this year at starting pitchers. I think he got three real bona fide studs to choose from. I like Brian Wu as well against Baltimore. They're not too bad there. As far as like where we're picking, I think that we talked about the Athletics. They have a guy named TBD going today. They can't even find a name for whoever they're throwing today. So the Twins could be hitting the ball like crazy. Brandon Fott's somebody that I root for and I want to like, but he cannot get lefties out, and he's been struggling with righties of late. So look at your Atlanta Braves hitters as well. And then Slade Ciccone, interesting young arm for Cleveland, but I do think the Yankees in Yankee Stadium have a chance to jump him. So a lot of ways to go on today's board, whether you want some premium pitching and big bats, or if you want to kind of play the middle and just get a bunch of like decent players and see where that goes. I think you could take any route you want in DFS today.
He is Paul Sporer, writer and podcaster over at Fangraphs, and of course right here on this program each and every week at Sporer on the socials. Paul, appreciate the time, buddy, and good luck today.
Thanks so much, y'all. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Guys, a reminder, sharpplays.com. You can go over there. You can check out what they have going on with their AI and sources that they have on some of these games out there. Free betting reports, real-time alerts, and insights delivered to you via email or via X. Sharpplays.com, trusted by the pros. Kelly, I look here, and you know, I guess this is a good time since he brought up the Braves, as did...
I'm trying to get a baseball bet in.
As did Will. Are you trying to get in?
I'm going to tell you, fellas.
Oh!
Team total over.
Look at that. That's good. You know what? We'll go through the whole game here in the top of this next.
Probably parlayed with the Thunder, but you know.
Hey, we're not we don't need to parlay. We don't need to parlay. Let's just cash the ticket, right?
You're right. This morning, let's just do that.
We'll save the Boisson talk for when we have Zach Cohen.
That's right, yes.
You know, we don't have any insight into Boisson.
Scepter, I need to know what that shoulder routine is.
You like the shoulders? Good stuff on there. Hour number two when we come back.